today's broadcast, I want to talk about an essential quality that is often missing in God's people today, an essential quality that we need to go against the grain and live for God. Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire broadcast. I have really been praying about today's broadcast in particular, just unsettled in my heart about which direction to go, and really felt that there's an essential subject that I want to share with you, I want to encourage you with, want to help you with, want to impart something that's a strength in my own life that I hope can be a strength in your lives as well. I won't be taking calls, so sit back, enjoy the show, send a note to a friend, tell them to tune in. You can always weigh in on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, what is it that I want to talk to you about today on the broadcast? It's Wednesday. That means we focus in particular on moral, cultural issues. And that means that these are often difficult subjects where we feel like we're fighting a losing battle. We feel like things are going wrong on so many fronts. We feel like, come on, be realistic. There's not really hope that change will come. And because of that, there's a very important quality that we need to have in order to persevere and to see God's victory and to see fruit born. Okay, I haven't told you what it is yet, but stay with me. I'm getting there. I'm introducing it. And I was reminded about this in terms of a strength in my own life in an unusual kind of way. Nancy and I, last week, were just going through some desk drawers, cabinet, some drawers, and looking at things I had. What could I throw away? What could I give away? What could be put in a better place organizationally? And I noticed these two little Lego pieces with writing on them. Two Legos. And she said, do we still need these? I said, yeah, I want to keep these. Some years ago, we had a gathering of our fire team, our fire staff. When I'm saying that, I'm talking about our school of ministry and our church and our missions organization. We brought everyone together for a special dinner, and we had a gal who was on staff within she's very creatively gifted, and she asked us to pray and to think about which particular trait, strength, gift we brought to fire. Now, of course, I was the president of the school and the senior leader of the organization, but the question was what unique quality did I bring in the midst of this? And I really thought about it. Nancy wrote down hers, and actually she wrote down two, and I just looked at them. I thought, boy, those are right on. Other staff, just boil it down. It was supposed to be one word, and we would put this word on this Lego, and then the whole thing was built together, and that just kind of signified how we came together and made the whole. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put down the word vision. That's what I bring, vision. I thought, no. We have other visionaries too, and yes, it's up to me to help bring the larger vision, or together with the other leadership team that we get God's mind for the vision of what he's called us to do. But I thought, no, there's something else in particular that God's called me to bring to our organization, and I hope it's something I can bring to each of you as well. And that one word that was written on that Lego was the word courage. Courage. Let me say to you that It's something that we must have in the difficult times in which we're living. And as times get more difficult, if they do get much more difficult in our lifetimes, courage is going to be all the more essential. I want to open up some scriptural truths with you about courage. I want to look at the lives of other men and women who've gone before us, who've been examples of courage. And somehow, if you're the head of your home, if you're leading an organization, if you're leading a ministry, without hyping things up, without giving people a false sense of hope, there must be something in you that has such confidence in God that come what may, you have courage to rally the troops, to rally your family, to rally the congregation, to rally the forces together, and to say, we move forward in Jesus' name. It's not foolishness, it's faith. It's faith grounded in the promises of God. So, such as I have, I want to give you today, courage.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about courage today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. I'm not taking calls today. I'm spending the entire program talking about courage, encouraging you to be courageous, to be strong in the Lord, not to bow down to the circumstances around you, not to bow down to the discouragement around you, not to believe all the negativism and hopelessness around you, but to be strong and courageous. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. You can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, but I won't be taking calls. You can also weigh in on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. When you do that, you'll find other resources that relate to today's program. Let me open up something for you in Scripture that perhaps you never thought about. This was meaningful to me when I looked at this some years ago. God has wired me a certain way, and my walk with God has produced certain things, and the way I was raised to produce certain things that all together make me into a very optimistic kind of person. Make me into a person that the way I live today is good, tomorrow is going to be better, even if there's no good reason for it. So often I have to work against just my natural optimism and make sure I'm taking steps in the right direction, making sure that I'm actively believing and not just assuming, and then working towards those particular goals that the Lord has set before me. But in the midst of that, there are battles that we face where you can't just be an optimist and you can't just have faith. There's got to be courage with that will not wither, that will not bow down when everything's coming down around you. And listen, we are all called to different things. We're all made differently. And yet in God, all of us are called to be overcomers. In the Lord, all of us are called to be more than conquerors. Our strength is not in ourselves. Look, I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, okay? And I have fun working out with friends and so on. But listen to me, that has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. I'm a big guy. I was walking with one of our grandkids in the mall the other day. You know, he's 7 years old, little guy. And I said, do you feel good being with Grandpa? Because Grandpa's big and strong. You know, just joking with him. And you feel safe. And he said, yeah, we were just laughing and having fun. Listen, if someone 7 feet tall comes my way, or somebody who's a professional boxer comes my way, you know, weighs 110 pounds, they'll knock me out in about 3 seconds. And you could weigh, you could be 10 feet tall and stronger than Goliath, and the devil comes your way and you're no match for him. We in ourselves don't have what it takes. It's I'm going to be strong. Well, that's not going to fight off demons. That's not going to fight off powers of darkness. That's not even going to fight off bona fide mental discouragement. There needs to be a deeper courage that we draw on. So let me open this up to you from the Scriptures. Joshua, the first chapter. We remember Joshua. He and Caleb were the only two out of the 10 that said, we can take the land. Did they not? Yeah, there are giants in the land. Yeah, there's opposition. But God has given us promises, and the people in the land are terrified. We can take the land. That was their philosophy, right? Now, it's 40 years later. They've watched a whole generation die in the wilderness. Perhaps Joshua did not have that faith and zeal he had earlier. He was at least 20 years old the first time around, okay? Because it was everyone 20 and old in that generation, 20 years and older, that died in the wilderness. And Joshua was older than that. So he's at least 60 and could be 70, 80 years old or older. So he's not a kid. Perhaps all that he's seen has discouraged him a little bit. Perhaps all that he's seen has weakened some of his resolve. Perhaps all that he's seen, yeah, he's been preserved, but perhaps it's challenged his faith and challenged his courage. Perhaps it wasn't just the natural courage of Joshua anymore. Perhaps it wasn't just the natural zeal of Joshua anymore. Now stay with me. Here's why I think along these lines. Joshua 1:1, after Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land which I'm ready to hand over to them. I'm handing over to you every place you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north. It will extend all the way to the great river Euphrates in the east, including all of Syria, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Now notice the promises that God's giving him. Notice the encouragement God's giving, as I promised Moses, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. Be strong and courageous. You must lead these people in the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and courageous. That's twice he's telling them. Be strong and courageous. Make sure you're very strong and courageous. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. This law scroll, this book of the Torah, must not leave your lips. You must memorize it, recite it, repeat it day and night, so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and don't panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. This is the third time now, in just a few verses, in a few sentences, God says to him, be strong and courageous. And then repeats, don't be afraid or panic. Joshua instructed the leaders of the people, and he gives them this word. And then he exhorts them to remember what Moses said. And then listen to what the people say. Verse 16, they told Joshua, we will do everything you say. We will go wherever you send us. Just as we obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. But may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Any man who rebels against what you say and does not obey all your commands will be executed, but be strong and courageous. Now, does that get your attention the way it gets my attention? That over and over and over, God says to him three times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you as I was with Moses. I'll be with you. And then the people say, may the Lord be with you as he was with Moses, but be strong and courageous. Could it be that with the battles they were facing, could it be that with the obstacles they were facing, could it be that Joshua was not as strong as he used to be? Could it be that Joshua in himself had questions and doubts? Could it be that Joshua, seeing the fact that Moses, the mighty Moses, the one and only Moses, could not bring the people into the promised land? Could it be that seeing the disobedience of the people of Israel and all of their failures, could it be that he was filled with doubts and weaknesses? Could it be that he was filled with fears? Could it be that God kept saying to him, and the people said, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, was because he didn't have it in himself? You see, when God speaks to the prophet Joel, let the weak say, I am strong. Or when Paul writes to the Ephesian believers and says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what that's telling me? The strength doesn't come from me. I don't have confidence in God because I have a good educational background in terms of secular education. I don't have confidence in God because I accomplished this or that. No. My confidence is in the strength of the Lord. If you have no money, but someone says, hey, here's my ATM, here's my password, go and take out whatever you want. You don't take out $200 at a time, but take out as much as you want because I've got unlimited funds in there. Take what you want. It's not your strength. It's having access to someone else's. It's not your wealth. It's having access to someone else's. Be strong in the Lord is telling you that you find your strength in him, that you take refuge in him. I remember a professor I had at New York University. He was anything but a physically imposing specimen. And he was walking one day from one building to another. We had to switch buildings for some reason, and it was rainy out. And one of the students with him happened to be a guy that was in tremendous physical shape. I mean, just a strong, rugged kind of guy. And they were walking together, and somebody wasn't paying attention to where they were going and bumped into this professor. And because he had this other guy next to him, the professor shoved this guy. I remember he told us the story that suddenly he felt strong because this guy was next to him. Listen, here's the fact of the matter. Our strength comes from God. He is a rock. He is immovable. He is unshakable. He cannot and will not be conquered. And when the Word of God says be strong and courageous, it doesn't mean muster it up in yourself. Have a pep talk with yourself. It means be strong in God. And you say, how in the world do I do it? Ah, I'll encourage you with that on the other side of the break. How do we find strength in the Lord? How do we take courage? But take this away right now. You, whoever you are, you can be an overcomer. You can be strong in the Lord.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, as always, blessed, delighted to be with you. Not taking calls today. I'm devoting the entire broadcast to opening up the scriptures and history to talk about the subject of courage. Boy, do we need courage today. There is a constant bombardment telling us, throw in the towel. It's Wednesday here in the Line of Fire. We focus on Wednesdays on moral and cultural issues, and there is this bombardment that comes our way that tells us, throw in the towel and quit. Because your side has lost, your side is finished, your side is done with. You are just relics of a bigoted past. You are relics of Neanderthal kind of mentality. You are relics of just a dead spirituality that we have outgrown. You're relics of either a dead book or a dead interpretation of a book. Whatever it is, it gets thrown at us constantly. And as I said before, say with gay activism, the way it comes our way, it's basically telling us this: we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. We are going to keep coming against you until you capitulate and throw in the towel. Friends, we need courage, not obstinacy, not stubbornness, not self-confidence, but courage in God. Again, not taking calls today, but you can interact with us on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, that's Ask Dr. Brown, or our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Hey, quick reminder, if you're not on our email list, please go to our website and sign up. That's askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Sign up for our email list. It'll just take you a moment to do so. We send out two or three notices every week, edifying updates, best of Line of Fire highlights, new messages released, new articles that we put out. So it's a great way to stay in touch with us. Special announcements if I'm ministering in certain places, if I'm having a debate somewhere, if there's something going on of interest to you, this way you'll be the first to know it. And it doesn't cost you a dime to do it, and we won't bombard you. In fact, you can select, hey, I want to get these emails, but I don't want to get these emails. That's just great because we are here to serve you. Look, friends, I consider this a sacred mission. Every day when I'm on the radio, I consider it a sacred mission. Even on a Friday when we're having fun with all kinds of questions, and sometimes a question may come up that's just completely unrelated to our larger mission on the broadcast here to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Even those shows, to me, it's, hey, we're spending time together. We're getting in the Word together. I want to edify and encourage you. And look, we are in a spiritual battle. Since there was a fall on this earth, we have been in a spiritual battle, every generation that has ever lived. And Jesus tells us in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. The Greek word there is the word for tribulation. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have pressure. You will have opposition. You will have difficulty. Count on it. If you live long enough, you're going to run into heavy opposition. If you live long enough, you're going to hit some walls. If you live long enough, you're going to face some real demons. But, he says, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Take heart, because I, he says, have overcome the world. What's he telling us when he says, I have overcome the world? He's telling us that the final victory is sure. He's telling us that whatever difficulty we pass through and however dark the valley, it is still ultimately temporary, and there is a holy way out. He is telling us that there is an ultimate triumph of God, and he's also telling us that in him we can overcome. I'm reminded of the words of Catherine Booth, the co-founder of the Salvation Army with her husband William Booth. She said, "The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over." Can I repeat that to you? The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. The last segment I was talking about finding strength in the Lord, that when the Word of God tells us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, it is not telling us, manufacture some machismo. Come on, men, manufacture this. Oh, I am a powerful. No, no. It's not a matter of looking in the mirror and convincing us of something and staring, and I'm strong. It's not a matter of ladies just psyching themselves up to be, I am like a superwoman in God. No, no. We come with weakness. We come with frailty. Can I share with you very honestly something from my own life? One of the things that I had to learn, one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn, and I didn't really learn it on as deep a level as I needed to until about 10 years ago. So this is 30 years in the Lord before I got this as deeply as I needed to. I'd understood it in part, but I had to get it much deeper. Which was, there was in me a mingling of God confidence and self-confidence. I don't want to be so presumptuous as to think that God has burned out every possible remnant that could ever exist in me, but I'm telling you, he did a very, very deep work. And in that deep work, he really made me to understand the weakness of my own flesh. He made me to understand the failings of my own nature. He made me to understand how left to myself I was not going to get anything done of any good. In fact, I'd embarrass me and everybody around me. He made me to understand that any good that came out of me was his grace working. Because there was a certain confidence I've always had in God. Man, throw me in a den of lions, God is with me. Throw me in the most difficult situation, God is with me. Call me to do anything, however challenging, God is with me. I believe him, he's with me, he's called me, he's equipped me. And with it, in a subtle way, was a self-confidence that I can do this, I can take this on. Perhaps it's the difference between this, and when Paul speaks of this in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, all things through the Messiah who strengthens me. Perhaps it was the difference from saying it like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead saying, I can do all things through Christ, through Jesus, through the Messiah who strengthens me. That's where the emphasis is, not on the I can, but on the emphasis of he can, he will, he's faithful. So to be strong in the Lord, it starts with this recognition of our weakness. It starts with the recognition of our inability. And then we take hold of the strength, the promise, the grace, the anointing of everything that is in God. He's my rock. He's my confidence. He's my help. In myself, I will fail. In myself, I am empty. In myself, I have nothing. All my trust is in him. And then he begins to work through us. He grants to us his courage, his strength. I'm going to continue to open this up. Those that will be leaving, drive off. You're not getting the rest of the broadcast. Check the website later. Catch the whole program at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. And let me encourage you, friends, to take advantage of the resource offer that we have this week. Two of the most practical CDs we have with 20 hours of combined teaching, just for $20 for the whole. It's less than half the normal price. We're paying the shipping as well, on how to be led by the Spirit and go and sin no more, how to live a holy life. Some of the most practical, encouraging, uplifting, helpful, edifying, strengthening teaching we have, and an amazing price. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. That's 1-800-278-9978. And be encouraged.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about courage here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. I'm not taking any calls today. I really prayed and asked the Lord, what do we focus on today? It's Wednesday. We focus on moral, cultural issues here on the broadcast. What do we focus on? What do we talk about? And I really felt I wanted to encourage you to be courageous, to be strong in God. Friends, if you look at the face of God, I'm not talking about seeing him in a vision. I'm not talking about trying to imagine what he looks like. I'm talking about knowing who he is. Knowing who he is, knowing his promises, knowing his power, knowing that ultimately he rules and reigns, knowing that ultimately he will turn everything for the good for his people, knowing that ultimately whatever Satan means for evil, God will turn for good as we walk with him, as we love him, as we serve him, knowing ultimately that our labor is never in vain in the Lord, knowing ultimately that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Messiah, knowing those things, gazing on the Lord, there is no place for fear, discouragement, hopelessness, because our God reigns and we are his people, and that's ultimately all we need to know. That's ultimately the best possible news in the universe. The stock market may fail. The economy may collapse, but our God is king and we are his people, and we will overcome in him, and we will experience his blessing, and we will experience his goodness. And in the midst of gross darkness, what does the word of God say? Arise, shine, for your light has come. I'm not taking any calls today, but you can weigh in on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook or our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Can I encourage every pastor listening? If you know you're doing the right thing, do it. No, we don't have to be stubborn. We certainly should never be mean-spirited. In fact, the more confident we are that we're doing the right thing, the more gracious we can be to those who oppose us. You know, I was just looking at something online the other day. I wrote three different articles that came out last week on different conservative websites, one of them on the Human Events website, the other on the Town Hall website. And between them, oh, I don't know, maybe there are 600-700 comments between them. And I read, in terms of a website like this, when I have articles like this, I read just a fraction of the actual comments that come in because of time and because this can distract me from other things that I need to be doing. And then we have our own blogs and our own website, and then there are other websites that will be interacting with things I've said or written. So obviously you can only read so much. But I just checked the other day to see on Human Events what comments had come in terms of some of the latest things, just out of curiosity. Maybe I read 10% of the comments that came in, but I spotted this one because it was towards the top. You are a disgraceful bigot. This is addressed to me. My article had been on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Is that the real hate group? They accuse others of being hate groups. Perhaps they're the real hate group in terms of spreading information that makes others look bad and that can be misleading and inaccurate information. And here's the response to the article. You are a disgraceful bigot and hypocritical homophobe, and all your rant does not hide that fact. You are like a manipulative tyrant that throws wood onto a fire and feces onto a curb. You consciously fan the flames of hate and evil towards those that scare your ignorant small self. Your agenda is obvious and tired. I read something like that. I only have one emotion, which is pity for that person. And desire that that person will come to know the love and the goodness of God. Why? Because they're wrong. Because they're in error. I read that and that encourages me. Keep on doing what you're doing. Don't slow down for a minute. Pick up steam. Don't lose steam. Well, why? Because we're standing for truth. If you know you're on the side of truth, be strong. Be courageous. Don't let anything move you. We'll come back with an amazing incident from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Stay with us.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am issuing friends a call to courage today on The Line of Fire. Not trying to psych you up and just tell you, come on, come on, come on, we can do it, we can do it. But telling you to find your strength in God, find your strength in the promises of God. If He is a rock, then in Him we can be a rock. If He is immovable, in Him we can be immovable. If He has overcome all opposition, in Him we are overcomers. It's not our natural constitution, it's God's strength in us. Be strong and courageous, because God's will ultimately come to pass, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. And even at this moment, Jesus is Lord, and He upholds the entire universe with His powerful word. Not taking any calls the entire broadcast today, devoting it all to the subject of courage, a call to courage. Look, it is our goal here on The Line of Fire to serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. That means we're calling for change through the gospel, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming violence and intimidation with the Holy Spirit and prayer and faithfulness and kindness, going against the grain, refusing to bow down to the system, not throwing in the towel when the world tells us you're already defeated. No, digging down deep in God and finding hope. If we are going to go against the grain and swim against the tide and follow the Lord when the world is mocking us, when the world is telling us we're wrong, when the world is telling us it's too late, when our own flesh is weary, our strength is going to have to come from God. Yes, my natural constitution when I say my natural constitution, I mean my makeup, my emotional, mental makeup is to be courageous and strong. But you put me up against real demonic power. You put me up against things bigger, stronger for me. I'll quake and I'll fade and I'll run like anybody else in myself. But in God, come on, bring it on. We're here to do the will of God. Therefore, we don't fear. It's not because there aren't fearful things out there. It's because our God has said to us, don't fear, because I'm with you. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. And if I'm standing for truth, truth will ultimately triumph. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. It says in Proverbs 21:30, there's no wisdom or counsel or plan against the Lord. I feel bad for people who come against me and oppose me, not because I'm some superstar, not because bad things are going to happen to anyone who opposes Mike Brown. No, that's foolishness. Because if I'm doing the will of God, people are opposing me, they're opposing Him. If I'm standing for what's right and what's true, people are opposing me, they're opposing what's right and what's true. So my whole goal is to get rid of my agenda and to find God's agenda and to line myself up with His purposes. If I do that, I can be like a fortress. I can be like a pillar of steel and iron and bronze. It won't be moved, won't be shaken. Why? Because I'm in God and I'm standing for what's right. Now, I had the privilege of writing a commentary on the book of Jeremiah. Many of you know about the commentary. It's readily available on Christian websites or Amazon or perhaps in your Christian bookstores. It's in the new Expositor's Bible Commentary, the new edition of that, which is terrific commentaries in it. So I had the privilege of writing the Jeremiah commentary. Get it on our website, askdrbrown.org. But one thing that I saw in living with Jeremiah for several years was that in himself he would sometimes crack. In himself he reached the breaking point. In himself it was too much. In himself he was overwhelmed, overcome, and sometimes snapped. But he never snapped in public. He snapped in private. He broke before God. You've got his lamentations and even complaints in chapters like Jeremiah 15 and Jeremiah chapter 20. But ultimately he never broke in terms of his resolve to follow God. It seems, reading the book, that he was very sensitive in conscience. And a man that wasn't just one that freely spoke words of judgment. You're all going to burn in hell. Ha, ha, ha. No, he seemed to be in agony when he'd bring these words of judgment. There's going to be terrible suffering and pain, and the city's going to be burned with fire, and you're going to be taken into captivity. You're going to die by the sword. He agonized over this. It was almost too much word after word, but in the midst of it, he also had the most exquisite prophecies of hope that you'll find in the Bible. To Jeremiah, it was given to bring the promise of the new covenant, a new and better covenant. That came through this man, Jeremiah. And you read Jeremiah 30 through 33, one word of hope and encouragement after another. Some of the most famous words of hope in Scripture: call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. When does he get a word like that, and a word of God's everlasting love? When he's confined in prison, when he has no way out in the natural, God's love is manifested. And God said to him, I will make you like a fortified city. If you don't fear people, but fear me instead, I'll make you like a fortified city. They'll attack you, but they will not overcome you. In the introduction to my Jeremiah commentary, I cite this example from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, from as recounted in Christian History, Volume 65. By January 1956, with the Montgomery bus boycott in full swing, threatening phone calls up to 40 a day began pouring into King's home. Though he put up a strong front, the threats unsettled him. One midnight, as he sat over a cup of coffee worrying, the phone rang again, and the caller said, "Nigger, we are tired of you and your mess now. And if you want out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." King later described what happened in the next few minutes. "I sat there and thought about a beautiful little daughter who had just been born. She was the darling of my life. I'd come in night after night and see that little gentle smile. And I sat at that table thinking about that little girl and thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from me any minute. And I started thinking about a dedicated, devoted, loyal wife who was over there asleep. And she could be taken from me, or I could be taken from her. And I got to the point that I couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. And I discovered then that religion had become real to me. And I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. And I can't let the people see me like this, because if they see me weak, they'll begin to get weak.' It seemed at that moment I could hear an inner voice saying to me, 'Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you. Lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared." What an account. You see these prominent leaders, you hear their speeches, you forget they're human beings just like everybody else. And they're the only ones that change history, and they're the only ones that impact society, and they're the only ones that bring about change. Human beings. God does not have some super species that are going to come and take the place of the church if the church fails. No, it's human beings through whom he works. Look, the man in Scripture who's about the most unusual supernatural man that ever lived, we're talking outside the Lord Jesus, talking about someone just born flesh and blood to a human mother and a human father, the most exceptional, supernaturally gifted, endowed, out of this world kind of person, you have to think of Elijah the prophet. Come on, calling down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, and then outrunning the king's horsemen as the rain starts pouring down, and then taken up to heaven. A whirlwind comes and chariots of fire, and he's taken up to heaven. Come on, this guy is just different. And then fed by ravens during a time of famine. And come on, this guy's different. He even raises the dead. But you know what it says about him? It's the only one in the Bible that says this, just like this, in James, Jacob, chapter 5. Elijah was a man of like weaknesses, just like us. Elijah was a regular man, just like us. And yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I mean, do we understand what's being said there? Just a regular person. Just when I say regular, I mean a human being with the same weaknesses we have. And in fact, the scripture makes very plain after he calls down fire from heaven that he struggles. He's fearful. Yet we're told in Jacob 5:17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he got fearful, and he wanted to quit, and he wanted to die, but he found his strength in God. God's not saying to you, just conjure it up yourself. Renew your mind with his promises. Instead of looking at all the hopeless, negative things around you, look at them, recognize they're there, and then focus on what does the word of God say? What does the truth of God say? What do the foundations of God say? What is written? Who is our God? What can I expect in him? And when you focus on that, when light shines, I'm telling you, the darkness dissipates, the fears dissipate, and you say, God is with me. I will not be discouraged. I will not fear. I will be courageous.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I hope you've been encouraged, strengthened by the broadcast today as I've given a call to courage and sought to encourage you by the word of God, by the truth of God. Not done yet. There's more to come. But if you missed the broadcast, any part of it, go to our website later today. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast in its entirety. We haven't taken calls today. We're just devoting the entire program to talking about courage, encouraging you in God. Again, I want to repeat, our strength comes from the Lord. This is not just natural resolve. This is putting our trust in God, taking hold of his confidence, taking hold of his reality, taking hold of his promises, taking hold of his truth, taking hold of the fact that he is God. Come on, friends. We're not talking about he's a little stronger, he's a little bigger than the devil, he's a little stronger, he's a little bigger than the world. No, the devil multiplied a trillion times over in power and might and ability is no match for God. We're talking about the only one who is infinite, the only one who deserves the word powerful and mighty. And he is our Father, and we take refuge in him. I genuinely pity those who disobey God. I genuinely pity those who mock God. I genuinely pity those who are on the wrong side of the purposes of God. Because ultimately, all they'll have is regret. And ultimately, they'll recognize the error of their ways. And ultimately, they'll see that God's ways have come to pass and God's ways have triumphed. I want to share with you just a few more quotes, a few more thoughts. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, which is available, two books published together, It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God, is the way we reprinted them last year. I trust if you don't have them, get hold of them and be blessed by them. But chapter 16 is called Forward March. And at the beginning of the chapter, I have some quotes from different leaders in church history. Puritan, William Gurnall, who wrote the classic book, The Christian in Complete Armor. Let the devil choose his way. God is a match for him at every weapon. The devil and his whole council are but fools to God, nay, their wisdom foolishness. What a word. D.L. Moody, what a difference in the men who go into battle intending to conquer if they can, and those who go into battle intending to conquer. I have tremendous confidence, friends, in Jewish ministry. I have tremendous confidence in our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I have prayed for certain people now for 40 years. I don't mean every day for 40 years, but many times over the course of the years, I have prayed for certain people that I have known since I was first saved. Jewish people, rabbis, leaders, different ones, some for 30 years. And as far as these particular people are concerned, the particular rabbis or Jewish leaders, not one of them is saved yet. Not one of them has come to faith. You say, Well, why do you have confidence? I have confidence because the Word of God says that one day all Israel will be saved, which is as clearly as I understand the scriptures, Romans 9 through 11, it's talking about a national turning of Jewish people at the end of the age. Now, that doesn't mean that these particular men for whom I'm praying will be saved. It doesn't guarantee that. My heart burns and yearns to see them come to faith. I cannot guarantee that they will. But I know ultimately there'll be a turning of my people. In other words, in the end, the Jewish people will recognize Jesus as their Messiah. They will recognize Yeshua as their King. And therefore, I have a certain confidence. I know that there will be a multitude no one can number from every tribe and tongue and people all around the world. I know that the Great Commission will succeed. It does not mean every human being will be saved. It does not mean that all Muslims or all Hindus will turn to the Lord. But I know that the gospel will go forth and that the entire world will be impacted. I know that Jesus will return, and I know that he's Lord and King now, and I know that he's called us to stand for him. Therefore, we're standing for what's right. How can we not be courageous? You know how Jesus encouraged his disciples in Matthew 10:28? You know what he said there? I'll paraphrase it for you. Don't be afraid about people. Don't be afraid of people. Worst thing to do is kill you. That's what he says. Don't fear those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't have to fear people. Worst thing to do is kill us. And if they kill us, they promote us to be with the Lord. That's the biblical mentality. Listen to what C.H. McIntosh said. A coward heart will not do for the day of battle. A doubting spirit will not stand in conflict. John G. Lake, a true Christian is unique. He stands alone. He supersedes all who have gone before. He will not have a successor. He is man at his best and God's best effort for mankind. J. Hudson Taylor, we are a supernatural people, born again by a supernatural birth. We wage a supernatural fight and are taught by a supernatural teacher, led by a supernatural captain to assured victory. And then David Livingston, on the following words, I staked everything and they never failed. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There is this famous quote about John Getty, pioneer Presbyterian missionary to the South Seas. On a tablet in a large church seating 1,000 people, this inscription was placed in memory of John Getty. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen. And finally, John Wesley's words, 88 years old, just a few days before he dies, to 31-year-old William Wilberforce in 1791. Unless the divine power has raised you up to be as Athanasius against the world, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in exposing that cursed villainy, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God raise you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary in well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even the American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish away before it. And it happened. It happened, friend. One man walking with God, full of faith and confidence, courageous in him, changed the world. God can do it through you and through me. Be strong in the Lord. Hey, friends, remember our special resource offer this week, 20 hours of teaching on 2 CDs for your computer or your MP3 player on how to be led by the Spirit, how to know the voice of God, how to understand his leading, and how to live a holy life, how to live in a way that overcomes sin. They're only $20 for each CD, but you can get both together for $20 plus. We'll pay the postage, but call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number if you'd like to become a monthly torchbearer or help us with a gift for the radio broadcast. Same number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Get these resources. What, it's less than a dollar an hour for the teaching you'll get. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in God there is no reason for fear. In God there is no reason for discouragement. In God we never throw in the towel. In God we are more than conquerors. In God we are overcomers. So be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Stand for what is right. Stand for what is true. Be strong. Be courageous. God is with you. On today's broadcast, I want to talk about an essential quality that is often missing in God's people today, an essential quality that we need to go against the grain and live for God. Stay tuned.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire broadcast. I have really been praying about today's broadcast, in particular, just unsettled in my heart about which direction to go, and really felt that there's an essential subject that I want to share with you, I want to encourage you with, want to help you with, want to impart something that's a strength in my own life that I hope can be a strength in your lives as well. I won't be taking calls, so sit back, enjoy the show, send a note to a friend, tell them to tune in. You can always weigh in on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, what is it that I want to talk to you about today on the broadcast? It's Wednesday. That means we focus in particular on moral, cultural issues. And that means that these are often difficult subjects where we feel like we're fighting a losing battle. We feel like things are going wrong on so many fronts. We feel like, come on, be realistic. There's not really hope that change will come. And because of that, there's a very important quality that we need to have in order to persevere and to see God's victory and to see fruit born. Okay, I haven't told you what it is yet, but stay with me. I'm getting there. I'm introducing it. And I was reminded about this in terms of a strength in my own life in an unusual kind of way. Nancy and I, last week, were just going through some desk drawers, cabinet, some drawers, and looking at things I had. What could I throw away? What could I give away? What could be put in a better place organizationally? And I noticed these two little Lego pieces with writing on them. Two Legos. And she said, do we still need these? I said, yeah, I want to keep these. Some years ago, we had a gathering of our fire team, our fire staff. When I'm saying that, I'm talking about our school of ministry and our church and our missions organization. We brought everyone together for a special dinner, and we had a gal who was on staff with a very, well, that's at that time, she's very creatively gifted, and she asked us to pray and to think about which particular trait, strength, gift we brought to fire. Now, of course, I was the president of the school and the senior leader of the organization, but the question was what unique quality did I bring in the midst of this? And I really thought about it. Nancy wrote down hers, and actually she wrote down two, and I just looked at them. I thought, boy, those are right on. Other staff, just boil it down. It was supposed to be one word, and we would put this word on this Lego, and then the whole thing was built together, and that just kind of signified how we came together and made the whole. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put down the word vision. That's what I bring, vision. I thought, no. We have other visionaries too, and yes, it's up to me to help bring the larger vision, or together with the other leadership team that we get God's mind for the vision of what he's called us to do. But I thought, no, there's something else in particular that God's called me to bring to our organization, and I hope it's something I can bring to each of you as well. And that one word that was written on that Lego was the word courage. Courage. Let me say to you that It's something that we must have in the difficult times in which we're living. And as times get more difficult, if they do get much more difficult in our lifetimes, courage is going to be all the more essential. I want to open up some scriptural truths with you about courage. I want to look at the lives of other men and women who've gone before us, who've been examples of courage. And somehow, if you're the head of your home, if you're leading an organization, if you're leading a ministry, without hyping things up, without giving people a false sense of hope, there must be something in you that has such confidence in God that come what may, you have courage to rally the troops, to rally your family, to rally the congregation, to rally the forces together, and to say, we move forward in Jesus' name. It's not foolishness, it's faith, It's faith grounded in the promises of God. So, such as I have, I want to give you today, courage.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about courage today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. I'm not taking calls today. I'm spending the entire program talking about courage, encouraging you to be courageous, to be strong in the Lord, not to bow down to the circumstances around you, not to bow down to the discouragement around you, not to believe all the negativism and hopelessness around you, but to be strong and courageous. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast. You can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, but I won't be taking calls. You can also weigh in on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. When you do that, you'll find other resources that relate to today's program. Let me open up something for you in Scripture that perhaps you never thought about. This was meaningful to me when I looked at this some years ago. God has wired me a certain way, and my walk with God has produced certain things, and the way I was raised to produce certain things that all together make me into a very optimistic kind of person. Make me into a person that the way I live today is good, tomorrow is going to be better, even if there's no good reason for it. So often I have to work against just my natural optimism and make sure I'm taking steps in the right direction, making sure that I'm actively believing and not just assuming, and then working towards those particular goals that the Lord has set before me. But in the midst of that, there are battles that we face where you can't just be an optimist and you can't just have faith. There's got to be courage with that will not wither, that will not bow down when everything's coming down around you. And listen, we are all called to different things. We're all made differently. And yet in God, all of us are called to be overcomers. In the Lord, all of us are called to be more than conquerors. Our strength is not in ourselves. Look, I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, okay? And I have fun working out with friends and so on. But listen to me, that has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. I'm a big guy. I was walking with one of our grandkids in the mall the other day. You know, he's 7 years old, little guy. And I said, do you feel good being with Grandpa? Because Grandpa's big and strong. You know, just joking with him. And you feel safe. And he said, yeah, we were just laughing and having fun. Listen, if someone 7 feet tall comes my way, or somebody who's a professional boxer comes my way, you know, weighs 110 pounds, they'll knock me out in about 3 seconds. And you could weigh, you could be 10 feet tall and stronger than Goliath, and the devil comes your way and you're no match for him. We in ourselves don't have what it takes. I'm going to be strong. Well, that's not going to fight off demons. That's not going to fight off powers of darkness. That's not even going to fight off bona fide mental discouragement. There needs to be a deeper courage that we draw on. So let me open this up to you from the Scriptures. Joshua, the first chapter. We remember Joshua. He and Caleb were the only two out of the 10 that said, we can take the land. Did they not? Yeah, there are giants in the land. Yeah, there's opposition. But God has given us promises, and the people in the land are terrified. We can take the land. That was their philosophy, right? Now, it's 40 years later. They've watched a whole generation die in the wilderness. Perhaps Joshua did not have that faith and zeal he had earlier. He was at least 20 years old the first time around, okay? Because it was everyone 20 and old in that generation, 20 years and older, that died in the wilderness. And Joshua was older than that. So he's at least 60 and could be 70, 80 years old or older. So he's not a kid. Perhaps all that he's seen has discouraged him a little bit. Perhaps all that he's seen has weakened some of his resolve. Perhaps all that he's seen, yeah, he's been preserved, but perhaps it's challenged his faith. and challenged his courage. Perhaps it wasn't just the natural courage of Joshua anymore. Perhaps it wasn't just the natural zeal of Joshua anymore. Now stay with me. Here's why I think along these lines. Joshua 1:1, after Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land which I'm ready to hand over to them. I'm handing over to you every place you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north. It will extend all the way to the great river Euphrates in the east, including all of Syria, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Now notice the promises that God's giving him. Notice the encouragement God's giving. As I promised Moses, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. Be strong and courageous. You must lead these people in the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and courageous. That's twice he's telling them. Be strong and courageous. Make sure you're very strong and courageous. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. This law scroll, this book of the Torah, must not leave your lips. You must memorize it, recite it, repeat it day and night, so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and don't panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. This is the third time now, in just a few verses, in a few sentences, God says to him, be strong and courageous. And then repeats, don't be afraid or panic. Joshua instructed the leaders of the people, and he gives them this word. And then he exhorts them to remember what Moses said. And then listen to what the people say. Verse 16, they told Joshua, we will do everything you say. We will go wherever you send us. Just as we obeyed Moses, so will we obey you. But may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Any man who rebels against what you say and does not obey all your commands will be executed. But be strong and courageous. Now, does that get your attention the way it gets my attention? That over and over and over, God says to him three times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And then the people say, may the Lord be with you as he was with Moses, but be strong and courageous. Could it be that with the battles they were facing, could it be that with the obstacles they were facing, could it be that Joshua was not as strong as he used to be? Could it be that Joshua in himself had questions and doubts? Could it be that Joshua, seeing the fact that Moses, the mighty Moses, the one and only Moses, could not bring the people into the promised land? Could it be that seeing the disobedience of the people of Israel and all of their failures, could it be that he was filled with doubts and weaknesses? Could it be that he was filled with fears? Could it be that God kept saying to him and the people said, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, was because he didn't have it in himself? You see, when God speaks to the prophet Joel, let the weak say, I am strong. Or when Paul writes to the Ephesian believers and says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what that's telling me? The strength doesn't come from me. I don't have confidence in God because I have a good educational background in terms of secular education. I don't have confidence in God because I accomplished this or that. No. My confidence is in the strength of the Lord. If you have no money, but someone says, hey, here's my ATM, here's my password, go and take out whatever you want. You don't take out $200 at a time, but take out as much as you want because I've got unlimited funds in there. Take what you want. It's not your strength. It's having access to someone else's. It's not your wealth. It's having access to someone else's. Be strong in the Lord is telling you that you find your strength in him, that you take refuge in him. I remember a professor I had at New York University. He was anything but a physically imposing specimen. And he was walking one day from one building to another. We had to switch buildings for some reason, and it was rainy out. And one of the students with him happened to be a guy that was in tremendous physical shape. I mean, just a strong, rugged kind of guy. And they were walking together, and somebody wasn't paying attention to where they were going and bumped into this professor. And because he had this other guy next to him, the professor shoved this guy. I remember he told us the story that suddenly he felt strong because this guy was next to him. Listen, here's the fact of the matter. Our strength comes from God. He is a rock. He is immovable. He is unshakable. He cannot and will not be conquered. And when the Word of God says be strong and courageous, it doesn't mean muster it up in yourself. Have a pep talk with yourself. It means be strong in God. And you say, how in the world do I do it? I'll encourage you with that on the other side of the break. How do we find strength in the Lord? How do we take courage? But take this away right now. You, whoever you are, you can be an overcomer. You can be strong in the Lord.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, as always, blessed, delighted to be with you. Not taking calls today. I'm devoting the entire broadcast to opening up the scriptures and history to talk about the subject of courage. Boy, do we need courage today. There is a constant bombardment telling us, throw in the towel. It's Wednesday here in the Line of Fire. We focus on Wednesdays on moral and cultural issues, and there is this bombardment that comes our way that tells us, throw in the towel and quit. Because your side has lost, your side is finished, your side is done with. You are just relics of a bigoted past. You are relics of Neanderthal kind of mentality. You are relics of just a dead spirituality that we have outgrown. You're relics of either a dead book or a dead interpretation of a book. Whatever it is, it gets thrown at us constantly. And as I said before, say with gay activism, the way it comes our way, it's basically telling us this: we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. We are going to keep coming against you until you capitulate and throw in the towel. Friends, we need courage, not obstinacy, not stubbornness, not self-confidence, but courage in God. Again, not taking calls today, but you can interact with us on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, that's SDR Brown, or our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Hey, quick reminder, if you're not on our email list, please go to our website and sign up. That's askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Sign up for our email list. It'll just take you a moment to do so. We send out two or three notices every week, edifying updates, best of Line of Fire highlights, new messages released, new articles that we put out. So it's a great way to stay in touch with us, special announcements if I'm ministering in certain places, if I'm having a debate somewhere, if there's something going on of interest to you. This way you'll be the first to know it, and it doesn't cost you a dime to do it, and we won't bombard you. In fact, you can select, hey, I want to get these emails, but I don't want to get these emails. That's just great because we are here to serve you. Look, friends, I consider this a sacred mission. Every day when I'm on the radio, I consider it a sacred mission. Even on a Friday when we're having fun with all kinds of questions, and sometimes a question may come up that's just completely unrelated to our larger mission on the broadcast here to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Even those shows, to me, it's, hey, we're spending time together. We're getting in the Word together. I want to edify and encourage you. And look, we are in a spiritual battle. Since there was a fall on this earth, we have been in a spiritual battle, every generation that has ever lived. And Jesus tells us in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. The Greek word there is the word for tribulation. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have pressure. You will have opposition. You will have difficulty. Count on it. If you live long enough, you're going to run into heavy opposition. If you live long enough, you're going to hit some walls. If you live long enough, you're going to face some real demons. But, he says, be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Take heart. Because I, he says, have overcome the world. What's he telling us when he says, I have overcome the world? He's telling us that the final victory is sure. He's telling us that whatever difficulty we pass through and however dark the valley, it is still ultimately temporary and there is a holy way out. He is telling us that there is an ultimate triumph of God, and he's also telling us that in him we can overcome. I'm reminded of the words of Catherine Booth, the co-founder of the Salvation Army with her husband William Booth. She said, "The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over." Can I repeat that to you? The waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. The last segment I was talking about finding strength in the Lord. That when the Word of God tells us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, it is not telling us, manufacture some machismo. Come on, men, manufacture this. Oh, I am a powerful. No, no. It's not a matter of looking in the mirror and convincing us of something and staring, and I'm strong. It's not a matter of ladies just psyching themselves up to be, I am like a superwoman in God. No, no. We come with weakness. We come with frailty. Can I share with you very honestly something from my own life? One of the things that I had to learn, one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn, and I didn't really learn it on as deep a level as I needed to until about 10 years ago. So this is 30 years in the Lord before I got this as deeply as I needed to. I'd understood it in part, but I had to get it much deeper. Which was, there was in me a mingling of God confidence and self-confidence. I don't want to be so presumptuous as to think that God has burned out every possible remnant that could ever exist in me, but I'm telling you, he did a very, very deep work. And in that deep work, he really made me to understand the weakness of my own flesh. He made me to understand the failings of my own nature. He made me to understand how left to myself, I was not going to get anything done of any good. In fact, I'd embarrass me and everybody around me. He made me to understand that any good that came out of me was his grace working. Because there was a certain confidence I've always had in God. Man, throw me in a den of lions, God is with me. Throw me in the most difficult situation, God is with me. Call me to do anything, however challenging, God is with me. I believe him, he's with me, he's called me, he's equipped me. And with it, in a subtle way, was a self-confidence that I can do this, I can take this on. Perhaps it's the difference between this, and when Paul speaks of this in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, all things through the Messiah who strengthens me. Perhaps it was the difference from saying it like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead saying, I can do all things through Christ, through Jesus, through the Messiah who strengthens me. That's where the emphasis is. Not on the I can, but on the emphasis of he can, he will, he's faithful. So to be strong in the Lord, it starts with this recognition of our weakness. It starts with the recognition of our inability. And then we take hold of the strength, the promise, the grace, the anointing of everything that is in God. He's my rock. He's my confidence. He's my help. In myself, I will fail. In myself, I am empty. In myself, I have nothing. All my trust is in him. And then he begins to work through us. He grants to us his courage, his strength. I'm going to continue to open this up. Those that will be leaving, drive off, you're not getting the rest of the broadcast, check the website later. Catch the whole program at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And let me encourage you, friends, to take advantage of the resource offer that we have this week. Two of the most practical CDs we have with 20 hours of combined teaching, just for $20 for the whole. It's less than half the normal price. We're paying the shipping as well, on how to be led by the Spirit and go and sin no more, how to live a holy life. Some of the most practical, encouraging, uplifting, helpful, edifying, strengthening teaching we have, and an amazing price. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. That's 1-800-278-9978. 877-878-9978 and be encouraged.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about courage here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. I'm not taking any calls today. I really prayed and asked the Lord, what do we focus on today? It's Wednesday. We focus on moral, cultural issues here on the broadcast. What do we focus on? What do we talk about? And I really felt I wanted to encourage you to be courageous, to be strong in God. Friends, if you look at the face of God, I'm not talking about seeing him in a vision. I'm not talking about trying to imagine what he looks like. I'm talking about knowing who he is. Knowing who he is, knowing his promises, knowing his power, knowing that ultimately he rules and reigns, knowing that ultimately he will turn everything for the good for his people, knowing that ultimately whatever Satan means for evil, God will turn for good as we walk with him, as we love him, as we serve him, knowing ultimately that our labor is never in vain in the Lord, knowing ultimately that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Messiah, knowing those things, gazing on the Lord, there is no place for fear, discouragement, hopelessness, because our God reigns and we are his people, and that's ultimately all we need to know. That's ultimately the best possible news in the universe. The stock market may fail, the economy may collapse, but our God is king and we are his people, and we will overcome in him, and we will experience his blessing, and we will experience his goodness. And in the midst of gross darkness, what does the word of God say? Arise, shine, for your light has come. I'm not taking any calls today, but you can weigh in on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook or our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Can I encourage every pastor listening? If you know you're doing the right thing, do it. No, we don't have to be stubborn. We certainly should never be mean-spirited. In fact, the more confident we are that we're doing the right thing, the more gracious we can be to those who oppose us. You know, I was just looking at something online the other day. I wrote three different articles that came out last week on different conservative websites, one of them on the Human Events website, the other on the Town Hall website. And between them, oh, I don't know, maybe there are 600-700 comments between them. And I read, in terms of a website like this, when I have articles like this, I read just a fraction of the actual comments that come in because of time and because this can distract me from other things that I need to be doing. And then we have our own blogs and our own website. And then there are other websites that will be interacting with things I've said or written. So obviously you can only read so much. But I just checked the other day to see in Human Events what comments had come in terms of some of the latest things, just out of curiosity. Maybe I read 10% of the comments that came in, but I spotted this one because it was towards the top. You are a disgraceful bigot. This is addressed to me. My article had been on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Is that the real hate group? They accuse others of being hate groups. Perhaps they're the real hate group in terms of spreading information that makes others look bad and that can be misleading and inaccurate information. And here's the response to the article. You are a disgraceful bigot and hypocritical homophobe, and all your rant does not hide that fact. You are like a manipulative tyrant that throws wood onto a fire and feces onto a curb. You consciously fan the flames of hate and evil towards those that scare your ignorant small self. Your agenda is obvious and tired. I read something like that. I only have one emotion, which is pity for that person. And desire that that person will come to know the love and the goodness of God. Why? Because they're wrong. Because they're in error. I read that and that encourages me. Keep on doing what you're doing. Don't slow down for a minute. Pick up steam. Don't lose steam. Well, why? Because we're standing for truth. If you know you're on the side of truth, be strong. Be courageous. Don't let anything move you. We'll come back with an amazing incident from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am issuing friends a call to courage today on the Line of Fire. Not trying to psych you up and just tell you, come on, come on, come on, we can do it, we can do it. But telling you to find your strength in God, find your strength in the promises of God. If He is a rock, then in Him we can be a rock. If He is immovable, in Him we can be immovable. If He has overcome all opposition, in Him we are overcomers. It's not our natural constitution. It's God's strength in us. Be strong and courageous, because God's will ultimately come to pass, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. And even at this moment, Jesus is Lord, and He upholds the entire universe with His powerful word. Not taking any calls the entire broadcast today, devoting it all to the subject of courage, a call to courage. Look, it is our goal here on the Line of Fire to serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. That means we're calling for change through the gospel, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming violence and intimidation with the Holy Spirit and prayer and faithfulness and kindness, going against the grain, refusing to bow down to the system, not throwing in the towel when the world tells us you're already defeated. No, digging down deep in God and finding hope. If we are going to go against the grain and swim against the tide and follow the Lord when the world is mocking us, when the world is telling us we're wrong, when the world is telling us it's too late, when our own flesh is weary, our strength is going to have to come from God. Yes, my natural constitution is when I say my natural constitution, I mean my makeup, my emotional, mental makeup is to be courageous and strong. But you put me up against real demonic power. You put me up against things bigger, stronger for me. I'll quake and I'll fade and I'll run like anybody else in myself. But in God, come on. Bring it on. We're here to do the will of God. Therefore, we don't fear. It's not because there aren't fearful things out there. It's because our God has said to us, don't fear, because I'm with you. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. And if I'm standing for truth, truth will ultimately triumph. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. It says in Proverbs 21:30, there's no wisdom or counsel or plan against the Lord. I feel bad for people who come against me and oppose me, not because I'm some superstar, not because bad things are going to happen to anyone who opposes Mike Brown. No, no, that's foolishness. Because if I'm doing the will of God, people are opposing me, they're opposing Him. If I'm standing for what's right and what's true, people are opposing me. They're opposing what's right and what's true. So my whole goal is to get rid of my agenda and to find God's agenda and to line myself up with His purposes. If I do that, I can be like a fortress. I can be like a pillar of steel and iron and bronze. It won't be moved, won't be shaken. Why? Because I'm in God and I'm standing for what's right. Now, I had the privilege of writing a commentary on the book of Jeremiah. Many of you know about the commentary. It's readily available on Christian websites or Amazon or perhaps in your Christian bookstores. It's in the new Expositor's Bible Commentary, the new edition of that, which is terrific commentaries in it. So I had the privilege of writing the Jeremiah commentary. Get it on our website, askdrbrown.org. But one thing that I saw in living with Jeremiah for several years was that in himself he would sometimes crack. In himself he reached the breaking point. In himself it was too much. In himself he was overwhelmed, overcome, and sometimes snapped. But he never snapped in public. He snapped in private. He broke before God. You've got his lamentations and even complaints in chapters like Jeremiah 15 and Jeremiah chapter 20. But ultimately, He never broke in terms of his resolve to follow God. It seems, reading the book, that he was very sensitive in conscience. And a man that wasn't just one that freely spoke words of judgment. You're all going to burn in hell. Ha, ha, ha. No, he seemed to be in agony when he'd bring these words of judgment. There's going to be terrible suffering and pain, and the city's going to be burned with fire, and you're going to be taken into captivity. You're going to die by the sword. He agonized over this. It was almost too much, word after word. But in the midst of it, he also had the most exquisite prophecies of hope that you'll find in the Bible. To Jeremiah, it was given to bring the promise of the new covenant, a new and better covenant. That came through this man, Jeremiah. And you read Jeremiah 30 through 33, one word of hope and encouragement after another. Some of the most famous words of hope in Scripture: call to me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. When does he get a word like that, in a word of God's everlasting love? When he's confined in prison, when he has no way out in the natural, God's love is manifest. And God said to him, I will make you like a fortified city. If you don't fear people, but fear me instead, I'll make you like a fortified city. They'll attack you, but they will not overcome you. In the introduction to my Jeremiah commentary, I cite this example from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, from as recounted in Christian History, Volume 65. By January 1956, with the Montgomery bus boycott in full swing, threatening phone calls, up to 40 a day began pouring into King's home. Though he put up a strong front, the threats unsettled him. One midnight, as he sat over a cup of coffee worrying, the phone rang again, and the caller said, "Nigger, we are tired of you and your mess now, and if you want out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house." King later described what happened in the next few minutes. "I sat there and thought about a beautiful little daughter who had just been born. She was the darling of my life. I'd come in night after night and see that little gentle smile. And I sat at that table thinking about that little girl and thinking about the fact that she could be taken away from me any minute. And I started thinking about a dedicated, devoted, loyal wife who was over there asleep. And she could be taken from me, or I could be taken from her. And I got to the point that I couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. And I discovered then that religion had become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. I said, 'Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. And I can't let the people see me like this, because if they see me weak, they'll begin to get weak.' It seemed at that moment I could hear an inner voice saying to me, 'Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world.' Almost at once my fears began to go, my uncertainty disappeared." What an account. You see these prominent leaders, you hear their speeches, you forget they're human beings just like everybody else. And they're the only ones that change history, and they're the only ones that impact society, and they're the only ones that bring about change. Human beings. God does not have some super species that are going to come and take the place of the church if the church fails. No, it's human beings through whom he works. Look, the man in Scripture who's about the most unusual supernatural man that ever lived, we're talking outside the Lord Jesus, talking about someone just born flesh and blood to a human mother and a human father, the most exceptional, supernaturally gifted, endowed, out of this world kind of person, you have to think of Elijah the prophet. Come on, calling down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, and then outrunning the king's horsemen as the rain starts pouring down, and then taken up to heaven. A whirlwind comes and chariots of fire, and he's taken up to heaven. Come on, this guy is just different. And then fed by ravens during a time of famine. And come on, this guy's different. He even raises the dead. But you know what it says about him? It's the only one in the Bible that says this, just like this, in James, Jacob, chapter 5. Elijah was a man like weaknesses, just like us. Elijah was a regular man, just like us. And yet he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I mean, do we understand what's being said there? Just a regular person. Just when I say regular, I mean a human being with the same weaknesses we have. And in fact, the scripture makes very plain after he calls down fire from heaven that he struggles. He's fearful. Yet we're told in Jacob 5:17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he got fearful, and he wanted to quit, and he wanted to die, but he found his strength in God. God's not saying to you, just conjure it up yourself. Renew your mind with his promises. Instead of looking at all the hopeless, negative things around you, look at them, recognize they're there, and then focus on what does the word of God say? What does the truth of God say? What do the foundations of God say? What is written? Who is our God? What can I expect in him? And when you focus on that, when light shines, I'm telling you, the darkness dissipates, the fears dissipate, and you say, God is with me. I will not be discouraged. I will not fear. I will be courageous.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I hope you've been encouraged, strengthened by the broadcast today as I've given a call to courage and sought to encourage you by the word of God, by the truth of God. Not done yet. There's more to come. But if you missed the broadcast, any part of it, go to our website later today. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast in its entirety. We haven't taken calls today. We're just devoting the entire program to talking about courage, encouraging you in God. Again, I want to repeat, our strength comes from the Lord. This is not just natural resolve. This is putting our trust in God, taking hold of his confidence, taking hold of his reality, taking hold of his promises, taking hold of his truth, taking hold of the fact that he is God. Come on, friends. We're not talking about he's a little stronger, he's a little bigger than the devil. He's a little stronger. He's a little bigger than the world. No, the devil multiplied a trillion times over in power and might and ability is no match for God. We're talking about the only one who is infinite, the only one who deserves the word powerful and mighty. And he is our Father, and we take refuge in him. I genuinely pity those who disobey God. I genuinely pity those who mock God. I genuinely pity those who are on the wrong side of the purposes of God. Because ultimately, all they'll have is regret. And ultimately, they'll recognize the error of their ways. And ultimately, they'll see that God's ways have come to pass and God's ways have triumphed. I want to share with you just a few more quotes, a few more thoughts. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, which is available, two books published together, It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God, is the way we reprinted them last year. I trust if you don't have them, get hold of them and be blessed by them. But chapter 16 is called Forward March. And at the beginning of the chapter, I have some quotes from different leaders in church history. Puritan, William Gurnall, who wrote the classic book, The Christian in Complete Armor, "Let the devil choose his way. God is a match for him at every weapon. The devil and his whole council are but fools to God. Nay, their wisdom, foolishness." What a word. D.L. Moody, "What a difference in the men who go into battle intending to conquer if they can, and those who go into battle intending to conquer." I have tremendous confidence, friends, in Jewish ministry. I have tremendous confidence in our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I have prayed for certain people now for 40 years. I don't mean every day for 40 years, but many times over the course of the years, I have prayed for certain people that I have known since I was first saved. Jewish people, rabbis, leaders, different ones, some for 30 years. And as far as these particular people are concerned, the particular rabbis or Jewish leaders, not one of them is saved yet. Not one of them has come to faith. You say, Well, why do you have confidence? I have confidence because the Word of God says that one day all Israel will be saved, which is as clearly as I understand the scriptures, Romans 9 through 11, it's talking about a national turning of Jewish people at the end of the age. Now, that doesn't mean that these particular men for whom I'm praying will be saved. It doesn't guarantee that. My heart burns and yearns to see them come to faith. I cannot guarantee that they will, but I know ultimately there'll be a turning of my people. In other words, in the end, the Jewish people will recognize Jesus as their Messiah. They will recognize Yeshua as their King. And therefore, I have a certain confidence. I know that there will be a multitude no one can number from every tribe and tongue and people all around the world. I know that the Great Commission will succeed. It does not mean every human being will be saved. It does not mean that all Muslims or all Hindus will turn to the Lord. But I know that the gospel will go forth and that the entire world will be impacted. I know that Jesus will return, and I know that he's Lord and King now, and I know that he's called us to stand for him. Therefore, we're standing for what's right. How can we not be courageous? You know how Jesus encouraged his disciples in Matthew 10:28? You know what he said there? I'll paraphrase it for you. Don't be afraid about people. Don't be afraid of people. Worst thing to do is kill you. That's what he says. Don't fear those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't have to fear people. Worst thing to do is kill us. And if they kill us, they promote us to be with the Lord. That's the biblical mentality. Listen to what C.H. McIntosh said. A coward heart will not do for the day of battle. A doubting spirit will not stand in conflict. John G. Lake, a true Christian is unique. He stands alone. He supersedes all who have gone before. He will not have a successor. He is man at his best and God's best effort for mankind. J. Hudson Taylor, we are a supernatural people, born again by a supernatural birth. We wage a supernatural fight and are taught by a supernatural teacher, led by a supernatural captain to assured victory. And then David Livingston, on the following words, I staked everything and they never failed. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There is this famous quote about John Getty, pioneer Presbyterian missionary to the South Seas. On a tablet in a large church seating 1,000 people, this inscription was placed in memory of John Getty. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen. And finally, John Wesley's words, 88 years old, just a few days before he dies, to 31-year-old William Wilberforce in 1791. Unless the divine power has raised you up to be as Athanasius against the world, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in exposing that cursed villainy, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God raise you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary in well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even the American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish away before it. And it happened. It happened, friend. One man walking with God, full of faith and confidence, courageous in him, changed the world. God can do it through you and through me. Be strong in the Lord. Hey, friends, remember our special resource offer this week, 20 hours of teaching on two CDs for your computer or your MP3 player on how to be led by the Spirit, how to know the voice of God, how to understand his leading, and how to live a holy life, how to live in a way that overcomes sin. They're only $20 for each CD, but you can get both together for $20. Plus, we'll pay the postage. But call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number if you'd like to become a monthly torchbearer or help us with a gift for the radio broadcast. Same number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Get these resources. What? It's less than a dollar an hour for the teaching you'll get. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in God there is no reason for fear. In God there is no reason for discouragement. In God we never throw in the towel. In God we are more than conquerors. In God we are overcomers. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Stand for what is right. Stand for what is true. Be strong. Be courageous. God is with you.